This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive. This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Program may contain language or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Federal Communications Commission permits the broadcast of some profanity during hours deemed to be safe harbor when children are less likely to be listening. KPFT upholds a stricter policy permitting the broadcast of sensitive material only between the hours of midnight and 5 a.m. The FCC forbids the broadcast of some sexual discussions or other suggestive matters regardless of the hour. If you have any questions or concerns, please call the program director during business hours at 713-526-4000. This is KPFT Houston.
Cause you get The program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours. I'm
Houston, Galveston and the world. We are broadcasting in Houston this week, aren't we?
Yes, we are this week.
Allegedly. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. I can push this back.
No.
Houston, how did I get here?
I wanted to play with a dump.
And welcome to the March 24th show. If it's still Saturday night, it's March the 24th. If you think it's Sunday morning, then it's not.
That's it.
And you are?
I don't know yet. Mental order. I'm Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. So, how was your evening? Okay. He gave me that look, folks.
I was baking. I was sore.
Aww.
Yes, my.
Yeah, it was your neck. It wasn't any fun part.
Yeah. Well, it could have been caused by it, but I. I do believe the term sexual whiplash could apply.
I see.
You never know, but, you know.
You pulled a muscle in your neck. So
no.
I guess that could have been caused by...
No, the nurse is saying it's not a pulled muscle.
From active fellatio, yes.
No. I'm being told by my medical practitioner.
That can't happen that way?
Well, no, it's not. It's something a little worse.
So. Oh, okay. Great.
I get to get drilled in the back of the head, not like I did at Louis.
My... So does this mean my co-producer is going to be lobotomized?
No, I'm seeing a general practitioner, not a proctologist.
Okay.
I went there because I knew someone else was going to go there. Well, not enough people go there, but
yes, well.
A whole nother show.
Evidently enough do.
Click.
Things going on in the community. Yes, first of all, we want to talk about the music that we keep forgetting to talk about at the beginning of each show. And that first one was by Jimmy Somerville, and it's called Dare to Love.
Oh, wow, he played the other song on the CD he likes.
Yes, yes, it's on the CD with his remake of Someday We'll Be Together, which I adore. And the name of that CD is?
Dare to Love.
There you go.
I was looking at the alien picture on there.
Thought it was one of the most...
We're just talking about anal probes, and then I see a picture like this, I'm going...
Underrated CDs that he ever put out. I thought it was a great CD, and it just didn't do a whole lot. But it's still very, very good if you can get your hands on it. You will like it. And also something you will like is breakfast this morning, later on this morning, at 10 o'clock at Mary's.
I'm so...
Naturally. Oh, the other song. Oh, yeah. Oops.
He does all this big hype, but let's talk about the music. We never talk
about
the music.
And then I forgot about the second one, and that's local. That's local.
Yeah, he played the same song we played 2 weeks ago.
Well, because...
It's the shortest set.
Yeah. these are all... It's called Red Hot and Cold by...
The Gay Men's Chorus of Houston.
Ta-da! And that was cut number 2.
Cold and Love.
Yes.
With Let's Do It, Let's Fall in Love, Do I Love You, Easy to Love, and Anything Goes.
Yeah. I recently discovered it in my mailbox along with their Christmas CD. A little late, but I've got something to play next Christmas.
Or in July, whenever somebody else does Christmas.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, so if you still want breakfast this morning, later on this morning, that is, at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. Sunday morning at Mary's, breakfast will be served by members of ICOH, the Imperial Court of Houston, Space City Empire, 10 till 12. It's only $3 a plate or $5 all you can eat. And all proceeds benefit the Lexi Bowen Community Legacy Community Health Services Drug Assistance Program, with 15% of the proceeds going to the Lexi Bowen Community Fund for folks who are not HIV positive but are in need. And the menu this morning is waffles, biscuits with sausage gravy, and all the trimmings. Then, other things going on with ICOH. The Archduke and Archduchess Jeff and Rose present the fourth annual Bad Ballads, Lousy Lounge Acts, and Terrible Torch Songs, a tribute to really awful music. That's going on Saturday, March the 31st, next Saturday, at Tony's Corner Pocket at 8 p.m. And this Wednesday will be the finale to the Silver Loving Spoon Fest Talent Contest. And that is a benefit for the Earthquake Silver Spoon Scholarship Fund at Mary's Naturally. That begins about 8:30, 9-ish, you know how it goes.
More-ish than 9.
Yes, and this week, this is the final week, so all the contestants who won from previous weeks will be competing for a Reed and Barton silver tea service valued at $800. And if you want to see it, it's on display in the ICOH trophy cabinet located at Mary's. Then tonight, Sunday night, March the 25th, Dueling Duets, brought to you by Crown Prince Royal Craig Farrell and Crown Princess Royal Sarahs and her Showlanders. That's going to be at Tony's Corner Pocket. And there will be prizes for best overall presentation, the funniest, the most serious, and best duet costumes. So that's where I'm going to be, 6 p.m. Tony's Corner Pocket. And don't forget to check out Legacy's new resale shop, A Lasting Legacy, located at 1232 Westheimer, the old Basic Brothers. And, I mean, that's kind of the highlights of what's going on. And I have to mention that tonight I attended the benefit at Mary's, ICOH put on, for in memory of China Bonet Capri, who died last October in that horrible automobile accident we've talked about.
Yes.
There were three members in the car. China was killed. Fallon Capri was injured, broke her leg, and she lost part of one finger. And Artrell Capri also was in it, and he suffered a severely fractured leg.
Mm-hmm.
Severely. He's just now walking around. So it was an incredibly serious auto accident. So a lot of the Capri family were there to help celebrate and perform. It was a great, great show. And then after that, I went over to EJ's because the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court
of the Single Star Inc.
Yeah,
finished the whole title.
I wasn't. Yeah, I have to really concentrate, and I wasn't concentrating on the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star, Houston Incorporated, was having a show there tonight. And you know, 2 weeks ago, we had them on for their monthly segment, and they were talking about all the different shows that they were putting on throughout the month. And I hadn't been able to go to any until tonight. So I walked in, and, you know, and tipped and sat down, and then the Emperor and Empress came up on stage and said, you know, we weren't able to make this presentation at whenever it was before.
Yeah.
But they called me up on stage, and I want you to know that the by imperial decree of their most royal sovereign and imperial majesties, let it be known throughout all realms and empires of the international court system that KPFT 90.1 shall be known as Keeper of the Imperial Voice, given underhand and seal the 17th day of February 2007, His Most Royal Sovereign and Imperial Majesty Chris Beck, Her Most Royal Sovereign and Imperial Majesty Cheyenne.
Well, that's nice.
Isn't that? I was just floored. I could not believe it. So they called me on stage to make the presentation, and I thanked them wholeheartedly, and
our show's first award.
No, actually it isn't, but
you've got an individual award to show us about anything.
But no, I've, you know, because I've been wanting the Imperial Court, the Reese's, on the show for years now,
yeah.
And we finally this year have made it, and every second Saturday, tune in, and you will, at the beginning of the show, and the Imperial Court, the Reese's folks will be here to talk about all the fundraisers they've got going on.
And what a coincidence, I got a picture of them up with us.
Oh.
We're just going to get that.
I love it.
Just got to get that one out of the middle there.
I love it. I love it.
Jimmy didn't see who I'm pointing at, did he?
No. No. And so you have, I handed you the
Reese's.
Yeah, the upcoming Empire shows. There are two more that we know of.
That's already happened.
Yeah,
that's already happened. Those two. Okay. From Eresis, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, on Sunday, April the 8th. Emperor 21 Christopher Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What?
Isn't he Emperor 23?
No. Christopher Garrett is a past emperor.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. There's some places you can't swing a beaded purse without hitting a Christopher.
Yeah, Christopher Beck. Chris Beck is Emperor 23.
Okay, now, okay. Emperor 21, Christopher Garrett, and Countess 23, Morgan Fairview, are hosting the Easter show at the BRB, starting at 7 p.m., benefiting the Legacy Community Health Services through Reign 23. And on April 15th, Imperial Prince Royal 23 Falcon will be hosting his birthday show at George's.
Yeah, I think there's more information on that second sheet.
Party starts at 6, the show starts at 8, show benefiting Legacy Community Health Services.
It's his birthday tax show.
It's the final tax deductible. I don't know, a lot of people wouldn't mind riding Falcon off, but hey.
Oh, ouch, ouch. I didn't know he was a tax deduction, so what do you know? What do you know?
All right, well, we've got guests here.
I do want to make a couple of more announcements first, because Monday is the fourth Monday of the month, which means it's time for Queer Music Heritage with J.D. Doyle. As the second half of Queer Voices, which can be heard every Monday night at 8 p.m. right here on KPFT. So next Monday at 9 p.m., he's got a very interesting show. He dug back for some history with Automatic Pilot, Alive, and others, and a special interview with the founder of women's rock band Lilith. And on part two, Levi Kreis talks about his new CD and other topics as only he can. So that's up for Monday night. And I want to mention some things going on at the community center. Activities this week, including the men's gathering, meets at the community center on Sunday at 1:30. The AIDS Foundation Houston holds positive opinion leaders meeting at the community center on Tuesday, 6 p.m. Bunnies on the Bayou meets at the community center on Tuesday, 6 p.m. And check out the new and improved community calendar at dubcubed.houstonglbtcommunitycenter.org. That's HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org. www.gayptf.org to see the full roster of events. And looking ahead, the Fresh Start Church, the GLPT welcoming congregation, returns to the community center and holds weekly worship services on Sundays beginning in April. More details to come. Bunnies on the Bayou, the community center, is honored to be one of the beneficiaries of Bunnies on the Bayou. And that's held Easter Sunday afternoon, April 8th, from 2 to 7 at Fish Plaza. Get that, downtown 501 Texas. Poetry Month event. Poet and entertainer Aaron Coleman will host an evening of poetry, jazz, and art on April the 13th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Baring and James, 805 Road Place, Suite 500. We'll talk more about that in weeks to come. But right now, we want to talk to...
I guess you're on now.
Oh, on now?
Oh, there we go. Now you're on.
Are we on now?
Yeah, you're still
on
turntable.
I guess so.
We're still on turntable. Here we've got Tommy, Tommy Allen and Stephen Bunch here with the, oh, God help us all, the Playboy Bunny Reject Show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sick and twisted lineup we have.
Starts in January and ends somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
This is true. It's going to be a fantastic show.
Oh. Hello!
He's going in there.
I'm just a co-pilot. I'm going to let Tommy talk about his show.
This was Tommy's idea.
Yes.
Take the blame.
Along with some other people.
Welcome to After Hours, Tommy.
Well, thank you. First time for everything.
Oh.
It's a first for me.
Oh.
And
we have a virgin.
Gee.
That means we have to do news radio.
I remember you talking about that when we were discussing it, when we were discussing the Playboy Bunny show the first time. And it was in the middle of Louie, something about first times and all that.
Mm-hmm. Huh. I can't believe it.
It happens. What can I say?
Well, all the shows that you've done, we've promoted here, and we never got you in?
Nope.
Wow.
I'm shy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen you on stage.
Don't go there.
Just shy of something.
Yeah, right.
So tell me about this show tomorrow night.
Okay, it's going to be a twisted take on the Playboy Bunnies, which good old Heffy decided that he was going to reject. So we got them all coming down to the BRB tomorrow. It's going to be very twisted, very sick. We're going to have a contest to see who's going to be the Bunny of the Year in our group.
And I hear that Mr. Arison is one of the contestants.
Oh, yes. He's the first one to come out in for January.
Which means I got to get there extra early to be drunk.
This January.
Number
one.
Yeah, everyone's doing their birth month.
So far. We've had to switch a couple people.
Yeah.
We made them preemies for one.
What time does this start?
The show is at 7:30, but we are having a dinner prior to.
Dinner?
Yes, we are having a sort of a traditional Easter dinner of ham, mashed taters, and veggies, and the Big Men's Club has graciously done ordering desserts for us.
Ooh. Oh, not just any dessert.
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
it's an awesome one.
If you're there for Louie, the Southern Comfortable Brownies are coming back.
Oh my. So tell me how you make those. And
first you smear them on your body.
Ooh.
Sounds like a winner.
It's a simple recipe. I mean, the recipe's so simple, an 8-year-old can make them. Because my niece helped me make these.
I see.
You just take out the water and add Southern Comfort.
Oh,
your niece helped. I didn't know those were fingerprints in the brownies. Oh, okay.
Ah. But we have members from different groups and clubs that are going to be our bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in drag. They're going to be in semi-drag and have a few in leather. And some, God only knows what they're going to wear because they're not telling us what their outfits are going to be.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be frightening.
Oh, boy.
We have one entertainer who is going to be appearing for the first time in Houston and on stage for the first time in about 23 to 24 years.
Wow.
In Baton Rouge.
Wow. Wow.
And do I have stories about her?
And he'll be telling some of those.
Oh, I'm going to. Because they involve a monarch from one of our very esteemed courts that you were just talking about.
Oh.
And their road trips together.
Oh.
And what rode.
Oh,
and,
boy.
Yes, and who. Thank God she's in bed sleep because you won't hear this.
You better hope.
She may not show up tomorrow.
Of course, you can always go to her computer, go to kpft.org, because this show is archived.
Oh, well, I won't tell him that. But I kind of conned him into doing the show because I was calling him and telling him, well, I put you down for your birthday in February. Oh, no, I can't be the second person to come out. So I said, okay, we'll put you down for me. I really hadn't even had him put down for me. So he doesn't know.
Oh, you're good.
He really volunteered for
you're
it.
You're good.
But it's going to be a fun show. We've got some really sick and twisted numbers going on. And Southern Country's part of the host clubs. And they're going to be doing two numbers. And we're looking
they're
forward
good.
To
they're good. They're very good.
Oh, fantastic. I was just really pleased that they were going to do one number at first.
They're just amazing to watch.
So it's going to be awesome. And the show is going to be benefiting Resurrection MCC's Food Pantry
good.
And the General Fund.
Good.
And we've been getting a very good response because we put the tickets, that they could order their tickets online through me and reserve them and pick them up at the door. And I've gotten quite a few calls and emails from members of the MCC themselves who have reserved their tickets.
Great.
So we have a good crowd that's going to be coming
out. Great. That's great.
Dinner will be served at 6, and the show will start at 7:30.
That may be a really good way to get people in on the Sunday, is to serve dinner then a show.
Considering
some of the outfits, though, we're not sure if we really want to be serving these people food and starting the show on a full stomach.
Well, as I said, I'm going to have some couple gallons of Pepto-Bismol and Rolaids there for afterwards.
I see. So, who's putting this on officially?
It's a collaboration of the Code 45, the Big Men's Club, and Southern Country.
Wow. Wow, what a combination.
Yeah.
Working together. Oh, my God.
Yeah, imagine that.
I think that's the fifth sign.
It's scary. But everything has just totally fallen into place. I've done shows before where it's been totally helter-skelter, and everything has just gone so smoothly for a change.
Mm-hmm.
And just step by step by step. It's just wonderful.
Wow.
So tomorrow's going to be an awesome day.
And we're glad to promote it, because I'm absolutely honored to be an honorary cult.
Yes.
And I wear that pin proudly.
I didn't know if it was honorary or ornery. Yeah, it's honorary. It depends on the time of day.
I think he's... Jimmy, you said you're an honorary cult the same way, you know, Debbie's an honorary Dallas Cowboy.
It's not the same way that I'm an honorary misfit either.
That's a story there.
After Louis. I'm an honorary misfit by injection.
Oh, okay. I understand that.
Okay.
As I said, I'm a shy person.
What were we saying about Louis and this guy?
Don't do that.
I don't have Bob's number, but I know how to get a hold of him.
Yes. I'm not going to tell that story. I told it once and that's it.
You do other things with the cults, other kinds of shows.
Yes, I have one that I started a few years ago called Tierras of Terror.
Mm-hmm.
Our first one was at EJ's, and it was very good. The following year, we weren't able to have it because of some personal things that happened in my life, but we had our second biannual this past October, which we had a very good turnout, and very good turnout of entertainers, because we decided to have a competition for the first ever Tierra of Terror's Queen. Contest. And it was full audience participation. They voted.
Okay.
And it was a landslide victory for our queen, who is going to be my co-host tomorrow, Jim Crawford. And he won the tiara that I had made 3 years ago that was in the back of my closet getting cobwebs and all this stuff on.
And you didn't dust it off from
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
You have to have a tetanus shot to be able to wear it.
It was god-awful. It was an old baseball cap with chicken wire on it, and the jewels were just flawless. I mean, it was broken beer bottles. And I had to drink a hell of a lot of beers and break those bottles just to get the right shape.
The right
shape,
the glue
I see. On there.
They he suffered for his art.
Yes. How you suffer.
Really. We had dead flies on there and spiders. And using a hot glue gun, it looked like something really disgusting. You know, a dead rat on the hood. Jim loved it. Every chance he gets, he wears it. And right in the center of the whole thing is this big eyeball.
Well, that is a tiara of terror.
Right. And we will be having the third annual this October.
Okay.
And I'm going to be starting construction on the next tiara.
Oh, that each tiara.
And no one gets to see it until that evening.
Okay.
But that's another thing with the show this Sunday. We have the voting for the Bunny of the Year will be done with audience participation again. That each entertainer and bunny will come out with a basket, a little Easter basket, decorated and everything. And whichever bunny raises
the most tips
will be Bunny of the Year with the ultimate bunny ears, which will not be displayed until that evening.
Oh, you've made these bunny ears?
Oh, yeah.
Well, from your description of the tiara, I'm scared.
Oh, yeah. Let's put it this way. They glow in the dark.
Ooh.
And not intentionally.
And you will be competing for these ears.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
I'm allegedly competing for it.
Plus the ultimate tail.
Oh.
Which means they finally get a tail.
Or get some tail.
Right.
For some of them.
It's going to be a very sick and very unusual show.
In a way, you know, I'm glad I'm first to get it over and done with.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there's something about the safety being able to hide upstairs.
Well, you know, that's the thing that bothers me because I'm not going to be able to be there for the beginning of the show because I'm in the dueling duets.
We'll have pictures.
Tony's Corner Pocket.
Yes, there's going to be lots of pictures.
So as soon as that's over, I'm rushing over to the BRB.
Oh, boy, wonderful.
Absolutely.
We'll save you some hair.
Because, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because there's also, you know, a thought of if this goes over well and we get a couple more people with a calendar even coming out.
Yes.
Ooh. Yes. Oh, my
scary.
God.
That's scary.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
It ain't the same kind of calendar Paul does, but hey. You know.
No. No, sorry, Bob.
It's pretty frightening. It's pretty funny. We figure that right now we have 9 bunnies possibly at 10.
Mm-hmm.
With hopefully that 2 more will show up tomorrow.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
But we figure that if they don't, I'll just ad lib a couple pictures on the calendar.
Oh, sure. There you go.
I figured this way. Hey, I've always wanted to have my own calendar.
And I bet you have an array of photos.
Yes. Yes. Way too many.
In various types of garb.
Well, just one, basically drag. We don't go to the other sites.
We don't go to the other sites. Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Because there is one floating out there. And they won't tell me which one it's on.
And for a fundraiser, you'll dial 555.
Really?
So, Stephen, what's going on with the cults these days? You knew I'd ask that question.
No, I was hoping you wouldn't. I'll sober up. Well, first of all, if we're going to talk about the cults, first let me say it's always good to be here at KPFT 90.1. Radio listens to you.
Thank you.
I always like going to support my friends at Pacifica, and at times go to KPFT.org to listen to the archived replays, things that I missed, or even if I was there.
I've often heard you and or Rose talk about how you went to that archive and listened Sunday morning while you're having breakfast.
Oh, especially if I've been on the show that night.
Mm-hmm.
I can come back and I can actually relive it and remember it because, you know, there's a lot of alcohol that flows here. No, just joking.
It flows outside the door, but not inside.
Well, there's a lot of stuff flowing here, but it's not alcohol.
Right.
Yeah, this isn't dead air.
But we have a new president, a Corwin's president.
Sir Corwin.
Sir Corwin's vice, well, yes, that too, with Sir Corwin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm vice president, and Terry Goodman is secretary,
mm-hmm.
and William Grady's treasurer, and Tommy's still there with ATF and helping do his shows. And not,
mm-hmm.
we have a lot of people that are still active with
good.
The group. We didn't have anybody quit after the elections. That's a good sign.
That's always a good sign, yes.
And we're just having fun. We also have a show April 1st, Fools yes. Rush In. Yes. Helen Hidewater has a show at the BRB. Mm-hmm. It starts at, I believe, 7:30-ish.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on a Friday. Is that on Friday?
April
1st.
No, Sunday.
Sunday?
April 1st week mm-hmm. from...
Good God. Yes, that yeah. is Sunday. Sunday, yeah, Sunday, that's Sunday. That's Sunday. Why it starts early.
You know, I normally sleep late.
Called yeah. Fools Rush In.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely it's going to be a very foolish show.
We're out there having fun, as you can see, with like Tommy's involvement. It's not just about the cult. Sometimes we help other organizations,
yes.
and we help people that, with our AIDS Trouble Fund, we've done things. This is not Tommy's or the cult's first foray in helping the food pantry at MCC. We did that back at the Thanksgiving, Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a show that was the celebration of my 28th anniversary of my 29th birthday.
Gotcha.
And all that. And everybody stands there trying to figure it out. And I'm like, oh, for Christ's sake, it's 57. When they have to take their shoes and socks off to count, that's bad.
We've also done do some stuff for Pet Patrol. And I know mm-hmm. everybody says, why in the world would the Colts be helping somebody else? Well, with our AIDS Trouble Fund.
That's part of
it. It helps people that,
you do.
That have AIDS. And sometimes we can't cover some of that. And Pet Patrol can help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about it, Pet Patrol can help people with their pets with food or veterinary needs or other things like that. And anything we can't pay for, well, you know, that helps them take that burden off. And
absolutely.
Like with Tommy helping out and Resurrection MCC with their food pantry, and they do a fabulous job over there with a lot of different things to help
mm-hmm.
out. It's they turn around and they help us. It's a, like I said, it's not quite the fist sign, but it's when you start having cooperation with the within the community. It, with with we've had a lot of friends with both courts, with
mm-hmm.
Big Man's now, with Southern Country, just fabulous of our club brothers that both out of the BRB, fabulous. BRB is a fabulous venue for
yes,
us.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yes.
It is.
EJ helps out. Tony's Corner Pocket helps mm-hmm. out. We have a lot of people helping out the cult, and you can't just say enough about how the community just kind of helps each other. I mean, and... it's a good thing.
And I'm always happy to promote the bars that allow us to do this fundraising.
Well, yeah, and somebody was telling me, well, you know what? They make your money off of these shows. It's like, well, yeah, they do. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't be open. But for the most part, the bars and the people that actually come out and entertain or raise that, we all know that saying, $1 at a time.
That's right.
They raise that
that's,
$1 at a time. And that's how you get some of these organizations can do other
just amazing things. Yes, that's how they. It's amazing. It's a dollar at a time, like the imperial, the empire of the royal sovereign, imperial court of the single yeah. star raised like $50,000.
Yeah.
$1 at a time.
Yeah, and this.
So, you know, that's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. ICOH does it.
ICOH does it.
And then Misfits for theirs. And I know that every organization does. And I think they all have in their heart that $1 at a time. And you can't say no to somebody
that's right.
that walks up and says, I'd like to help. And I think that's what some people feel guilty because they can't give, you know, umpteen zillion dollars. But, you know, it's sometimes being there and
giving
$1.
Well, a lot of people give $1, then that's just as good. Yeah.
Being there is half the battle, getting
sure.
people there for your
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
I look at it for when we do and help other organizations, it comes back to us also.
Sure.
Because,
sure.
you know, you just can't. We've accepted, and it's time for us to reciprocate and give a helping hand to other people who need it,
yeah.
too.
And I'm really glad that you came here to promote this. I mean, we've been
thank
promoting
you.
It for weeks.
But, I heard.
You know, it's always best when the people, you know, who are directly involved can come on and talk about it and talk mm-hmm. about the organizations and things. I really love that.
I'm looking forward to Sunday. I'm really hyped up about it.
Good.
And all this. I plan on sleeping tonight so I can get through it.
Okay, Chris, take us away. What? Thanks for being here.
Thank you,
thank
Chris.
You.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I had to go with the drag song.
What?
I had to pick a drag song.
Imagine that.
To follow this up.
Is this the same number you're doing tomorrow?
No.
Or today?
I still have to find the music.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm going on in, you know what? Yes.
First one.
16 hours, and I still don't have the music.
Not a shoot.
Number one.
Oh. Okay.
I know what I want to perform to. I just...
It'll be a mime. He's doing mime tomorrow, folks.
Mime drag. Mime drag.
We can't hear you.
On that note, Hedvig. Wig in a box.
Everybody,
Hedvig and the Angry Inch, and that was Wig in a Box. Figured since we were talking about scary drag, we had to go with that. Tonight we've been looking at some more pictures there from Louie. Dalton DeHart has put up his pics that he took, and you'll find lots of pics in there in Jimmy. And if you go to picture 1153, you'll find Jimmy and the person coming up here next, Gigi.
With Don Gill.
Oh, that's who it is. Okay. I didn't know. And if you go a couple of pictures before that, you'll see me in my cheerleader outfit again.
Oh.
Dalton has a hell of a flash on his camera.
He sure does.
Because
it fills my face out.
I mean, with the video that I took of the Big Men's performance at Louie, you got to turn the brightness on your monitor up really high just to see it. Because it's so dark. And these pictures look like we were illuminated beautifully.
Yeah. I mean,
my God, look how white my legs look. I think the flash is bouncing off of them. And my skirt's riding high. Oh, God, how scary that is. But, go to Dalton DeHart, DaltonDeHart.com, and you see lots of pictures from Louie, and they're all safe for work. He doesn't post the dirty ones on there. God, my legs are white. Note to self, next Louie, spray on tan. You'll also find some pictures in here of Gigi. I'll have to go back and see if I can find the pictures of you and your ensemble at Mary's. I do know, like I said, I do know you're on TexasFairs.org. They're Louie Pinks.
Ah.
But. So. This is the fourth Saturday, and normally we would be doing a leather segment, but we don't know where the hell Mrs. Max is. And the majority of the leather community is at the Dare Wear Fetish Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Gigi said she'd come in and talk with us tonight, so we're not playing music all night long.
Yeah. In fact, doing a show on... tonight's show is going to be about Earth Spirit Alliance, the pagan organization I'm a member of.
Okay.
And talking a little bit about the Aphrodite's Temple and some of the things we do out there. And... basically, we've got a big festival coming up in April 20th to the 22nd. So anybody that's interested to learn more about paganism and would like to come to a pagan festival, go to earthspiritalliance.org. And you can get information and even order your tickets online. And they're running a special right now. For those that are going to their first festival at ESA, you get a free one-year membership when you come to one of the major festivals. So, and the festival tickets are $35. So it's a pretty good deal. You get thrown in a one-year membership to ESA free of charge.
Just for losing your virginity.
Uh-huh.
One year membership with losing your ESA virginity.
Yes. But anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about ESA and what it's all about. Basically, it is a pagan organization, and they have two major festivals each year, the Maiden Awakens in the spring, and then the Harvest King in the fall. And it's kind of a celebration. They have workshops, they have pagan rituals, and even a little bit of vending out there, but there hadn't been a whole lot yet. Hopefully we'll get more vendors coming in. But for the festivals, in the spring, we'll be doing a maypole ritual. And a lot of people are kind of familiar with the maypole, where you tie the ribbons on and
dance around
them and dance, and it's really very festive. And one good thing about ESA is they're very GLBT friendly and supportive. And of course, they let me in and and let me run the adult area. And we do have both family camping and all adult camping areas, so people can kind of go take part in what they're into. I kind of want to talk a little bit about some of the rituals and some of the things. Mainly I'm going to focus on the adult area and running Aphrodite's temple tonight. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, they think of sexuality as being kind of, or at least in our society, it's kind of thought of as kind of base, and and spirituality is something totally separate. But in Aphrodite's temple, we bring the two concepts together and kind of get into this whole sense of spiritual sexuality. And it's really a whole different perspective on bringing oneself to a whole different level of consciousness, and discovering a whole new element of spirituality. I base the Aphrodite's temple on the ancient sacred sex temples, loosely. And basically, in the ancient days, there's temples all over the world in different cultures that were pretty much devoted to providing spiritual sexual services for the patrons that came into the temples. One of the things we do in the modern day temple is teach people, provide a whole different kind of sex education, teach people about their bodies and what you can accomplish. I've talked a lot on this show about some of the different types of orgasms people can have. Males can have full body and multiple orgasms. Females can have ejaculatory orgasms. And a lot of this is based on some of the teachings from tantric sex and from the Kama Sutra and from many ancient texts on learning how to do breathing and erotic work that awakens part of us that in modern society is pretty much non-existent.
Yeah,
we just don't know. So part of the purpose of the temple is to teach people about our bodies and what we can open up and learn about, some of the deeper mysteries of human sexuality and ecstasy.
Hey, Stephen, everyone, you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
But before I go too much further on spiritual sexuality, I do want to talk a little bit about ESA, or Spirit Alliance. Basically, the festivals are a camping event. You have to bring your own tent and sleeping bags and food and that sort of thing. It is a campground situation. They have drinking water on the land. It's actually city water from Red Rock, Texas.
Oh.
So it's city certified, so it's really good. They do have hot showers, and they do have outhouses. So it's semi-primitive. One of the things that's very central for me as a pagan is this sense of reconnecting to the land and to the woods and to nature again. And that's pretty central with a lot of pagans, is getting back in touch with the earth and the elements. There's a lot of misconceptions in our society about paganism. A lot of people think that pagans worship the devil, and that we, you know, it's all about all this evil stuff. And actually, the devil is a Christian deity or concept.
It's probably more closely, and paganism is probably closer more to like Greek and Roman mythology.
Some forms of paganism.
Some of that. I mean, some of that.
Some of it's. I mean, pagan's kind of an umbrella term. Mm-hmm. It can be include Celtic. It can include more English, Old England variety. It can include Aborigine. It can include American Indian traditions.
Like it's
more earth-based. Yeah, it's an earth-based religion. And basically it's about really kind of worshiping one another and worshiping the earth and the energies and some of the gods and goddesses from ancient times. One of the things I like about paganism, which is very different from many other religions, is that they don't really set up a hierarchical structure or patriarchal structure. It's basically each person becomes responsible for their own religious or spiritual experiences. It's not about one person being kind of the funnel of spirituality for the group. Each person brings in their own spirituality. And for those that want to learn a little bit more about ESA and paganism, ESA does have a website. It's Earth Spirit Alliance, all one word, .org. They have a lot of information about the philosophy, some of the rituals, some of the things we do. We have fire dancing, we have dancing, we have all kinds of things that go on throughout the festivals. A few of the things that I like about ESA is that it's, you know, you get into some pagan groups and it's very focused on one branch of paganism. But ESA recognizes all forms of paganism. And we celebrate and have kind of respect for the different forms of paganism. You seem very intent on something in there.
Nothing naughty. I was just...
Oh, okay. You just had a weird expression on your face.
I usually do have a weird expression on my face coming around here.
But anyway, the few other things that I'd like to kind of bring up on ESA is that, once again, we do have a lot of celebration,
mm-hmm.
and kind of a spiritual, loose-based spirituality, where each person kind of brings in their own magics and their own workings to help bring a wholeness to it all. Just very different from many other types of religions or spiritual paths. What I'd like to do is go to some music for a few minutes, if
okay.
we can.
Sure.
And we'll come back and I'll talk a little bit more about the Aphrodite's Temple and some of the things that we pulled together. More on the central sexual spirituality.
All right, let's go to Little Scissor Sisters. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Like
Scissor Sisters, She's My Man.
Ooh, I like that.
I decided to try something besides number one.
I see.
I don't feel like that.
Yeah, I know. So, and what was that before?
That was it. That's all I played.
Only one song?
Yeah, I made it a quick one.
Wow. Before we get back to GG, I've got some more announcements I'd like to get through. This next Sunday, because it's every second and fourth Sunday of each month, the Lipsynka Divas descend upon George Country Sports Bar, located at 617 Fairview. Showtime is at 8 p.m. and a special guest performer every month. And we've talked about Lazarus House on this show many times.
Uh-huh.
Lazarus House is a facility that provides exercise and nutrition for wasting disease, especially for people with HIV or cancer, or even people who have been in car accidents and have some paralysis. They work with all sorts of people to build muscle back up.
Uh-huh.
And I'm actually a client over there. And I'm telling you, it's really, really worked for me, because I spent quite a few years at hovering around 125 pounds trying to get up to 130. And since I've been with Lazarus House, I'm now at 140. So it's worth it. And it's actually a lot of fun, because it's a wonderful, wonderful atmosphere over there. A very affirming atmosphere. Plus, you work with a trainer 3 times a week. So,
well, if you find a doctor to do a fat transplant, I'll be glad to give you another, you know, 50, 100, how much you want.
Anyway, Lazarus House.
I've offered you an ass cheek there.
Yeah, that would work.
Take it off, rotate it 90 degrees, put a crack in.
And that's the whole ass for me.
Uh-huh.
Lazarus House puts a new swing on golf with the first annual Wham Bam Thank You Ma'am Golf Scram. That's happening next Saturday, March the 31st, at Cypress Wood Golf Club. Shotgun start, 12 noon. And for individual golfers, it's $100. And entry donation includes 18 holes of golf, practice range, golf cart per team of 4 players, after tournament dinner, gifts, and lots of fun. Secure your spot today by calling Lazarus House, 713-526-5071. And you can call right now, because they have a machine there that'll answer and pick up for you.
Operator's not standing by.
There you go. 713-526-5071. And as we talked about earlier, Helen Highwater and the Colt 45s present Fool's Rush In, the fundraiser for the Colt 45s General Fund, which is happening Sunday, April the 1st, which would be next Sunday, 7:30 p.m. at the Brazos River Bottom. And Houston Transgender Unity Committee has had things going on this entire month. And it's ending with next Saturday, March the 31st, the Diamond Tea Girls meet for dinner at 8 p.m. at Bobby Yeager's, located at 2607 Grant, just around the corner from South Beach. Transgender Houston Cover Girls holds Girls Night Out beginning at 10 p.m. at the nightclub Blur, located at 715 Pacific. And the Unity Banquet is coming up. This is the 15th annual event presented by the Unity Committee, April the 14th, 6:30 until 1 a.m. at the West Chase Hilton. That's 9999 Westheimer at Briar Park. Tickets are $50 in advance and can be purchased through TicketWeb at dubcubed htuc.org. Some proceeds from ticket sales support the Peggy Rudd Transgender Scholarship Fund.
And for those of you who are trying to figure out where in the world that is on Westheimer, that's out where Westheimer almost meets the Beltway.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
For those of you who don't venture outside the loop.
That tells me nothing. But
keep going west, and it's right before you hit George Bush Reservoir.
Gotcha. No, I know where the 10,000 block of Westheimer is, actually. I've been to the 10,000 block of Westheimer.
What corner were you working?
At the time, I don't think there was a corner there. It's been a while.
You're at the 10,000 block of Westheimer, where it actually was the old Farm to Market road.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He was looking for a market.
Was I ever. And coming up next month, Southern Country Houston presents the 15th annual Sweethearts in Texas Spring Fling Hoedown. Mm-hmm. Friday and Saturday nights, April the 13th and 14th, at the BRB from 7 to 9, both nights. The beneficiaries this year are the PWA Charities and Assisters. 100% of the proceeds go to these two wonderful charities. So Friday night on the April the 13th, there's dance exhibitions featuring local talent and world-class dancers along with other entertainment for your pleasure, dancing to your favorite tunes, and a raffle. Saturday night is dance exhibitions featuring local talent and world-class dancers along with other entertainers for your pleasure, dancing to your favorite tunes, raffle, and a snack buffet. And they say they can put out a spread. We shall see.
I've seen some of them. I wouldn't mind having a spread.
I see. Raffle prizes. First prize is a huge basket loaded with over $250 worth of premium alcoholic beverages, gourmet snacks, plus a crisp $100 bill. Second prize is a bouquet of Houston area restaurant gift certificates and other prizes to be announced. So that sounds like fun. Coming up in just 3 weeks, actually. So we are back with Gigi.
Hi.
Hi, honey.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, doing good. And he invited me to join in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
David.
And the other David just brought me a lovely mug of coffee.
And earlier we've been talking about ESA, Earth Spirit Alliance.
Yes.
And...
Because there's a big thing coming up, huh?
Oh, yes. April 20th to the 22nd is the Maiden Awakens Festival.
Ooh.
And didn't you say there was a special deal to it if you come this time?
Yeah. For people that are coming to ESA for the first festival, they offer a free 1 year membership to ESA.
That's a great deal.
And tickets for the festival are $35 for the whole weekend.
So what happens over the weekend?
Well, they have rituals. They have all different kinds of workshops.
Oh, so it's like a seminar.
No, not exactly. It's partly that. They have drumming and dancing. They have fire spinners and fire dancing. They're putting on a sacred play this year.
Oh,
Maiden Awakens.
Okay.
Wow.
They have bardic circles.
And bardic circle would be like storytelling and odes and that kind of thing?
Uh-huh.
Cool.
And then they have a philosopher's circle. And
I
they have children's activities up in the family area. And they're going to be running the Sweat Lodge.
Wonderful.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay.
So you can...
I wonder, is David Great Bear going to be involved in that?
No, they've got another group that's going to be running it for the ESA Festival.
Okay.
David does ours for when I do the Radical Fairy Gatherings up there. But they have a whole big group of people that do the sweats.
Okay.
And they put on, I think, at least one sweat per day. Maybe
beautiful.
Two.
That's getting more appealing to me all the time.
Ah. So those are some of the activities. And then, of course, I'm running Aphrodite's Temple up there.
Yeah, you're going to do you were telling me you're doing a performance, some performance pieces.
Yeah, some
performance pieces.
Each night when we start Temple, I'll put on a erotic performance piece.
is it similar to some of the shows I've seen you do at your home?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
But with a little bit more of a spiritual element.
Okay.
One of the pieces I'm going to be debuting at Maiden Awakens, I call it The Gift of Fire, an Erotic Interplay with Fire.
Oh, my.
Ooh. And it's very erotic.
Wow.
And I'll also be doing a couple of workshops. One of the workshops I'm going to be doing is on the art of erotic massage. And
always,
teaching people
always fun.
How to awaken some of the deeper eroticism and the kundalini.
Beautiful.
Within.
Well, I was wondering, what is the sort of specific but general the Maiden Awaken, what is that about? In terms of that theme.
Oh, okay. As you know, there's in some branches of paganism, there's the maid, the maiden, the mother, and the crone.
Right.
Representing three mm-hmm. phases of womanhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when a woman first starts coming of age, and then she becomes a mother, and then...
And fruitful.
And then yeah. later on, the wise crone.
Yeah. yeah.
The Maiden Awakens is this whole celebration tied once again back to the earth and fertility of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
In ancient days, the maidens would go out in fields and basically ensure that... To ensure fertility of the fields, they would do sex rituals.
Beautiful.
And awaken themselves in the earth.
Right, share their awakening.
Yeah.
yeah.
So the Maiden Awakens is kind of this awakening, not only of young women, but also of the fertility
and also sort of coming to a more conscious way of knowing things rather than the child just directly knowing things, which
right.
is valuable. You don't want to lose.
Yeah.
But then there's also consciously, purposely, you know, finding and connecting to knowledge.
Yeah.
To consciousness.
And it's also just this celebration of the cycles of life.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
In fall, they call the festival the Harvest King.
Mm.
Because that's the time when we harvest the crops and
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it's all about it kind of shifts, you know, they try to do the balance and the main
mm-hmm.
spring ritual is kind of focused on earth and womanhood.
Mm-hmm.
The fall ritual is more focused on male and the harvest.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And so it's
beautiful.
And then they also have two smaller festivals that aren't as highly, you know, not as many people come because it is camping. And
right.
one's in the winter, which mm-hmm. is the Yule Festival.
Right.
December 21st.
And for some people, though, like my younger brother loves camping in cold weather. He
yeah.
just thrives on it.
And then they have...
He loves having a fire.
Sun
know.
Song in the middle of the summer, which
yeah.
a lot of people don't come because
it's Texas,
like,
yeah.
But, you know, we do have ways to beat the heat. One of the things I'll be doing at Maiden Awakens is setting up the above-the-ground pool and temple, and we're
oh,
going to have a
wonderful.
Clothing optional... pool party
yeah.
Saturday during the heat of the day. So.
Beautiful.
So it'll be a lot of fun.
Back to the good old days when everybody, practically everybody, used to skinny dip.
Oh, yeah. So basically, in temple, what we do is we teach kind of alternative forms of sexuality and different ways of learning about how to get in touch with parts of ourself that we've kind of lost in modern
mm-hmm.
age. You know, our modern age sex ed is you stick it in, you get it off, and you're done, basically.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But this focuses more on a whole body experience and learning
beautiful.
How to do breathing techniques and combining it with tension relaxation techniques. Ooh. and
that's so important. I mean, people
spreading
don't,
the erotic energy, not just centralizing it in the genitals, but
right.
bringing it out throughout the whole body.
Absolutely.
And so it becomes a much more profound experience when you can become, and I've had these experiences where I go into orgasms and someone can touch my hand or mm-hmm. touch the back of my neck and it throws me into another orgasm.
Beautiful.
That's how awakened I can bring my body when I get into these states.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the workshops I'm doing is on sacred sexuality and how to awaken.
Well, that's
one's
truly
body.
A gift you're giving people then. No doubt of that.
And part of it is that, you know, we just don't know, but I've studied ancient tantric
right.
teachings
well,
and
so much of
so many other
so
teachings.
Much of the way we survive everyday life is by or most a lot of people by desensitizing
mm-hmm.
ourselves, so it's detrimental in lots of ways.
And the other thing is that we live in such a touch deprived society.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, walk into any elevator and you notice people kind of scrunching in the more crowded
well,
it gets.
And you're
afraid to touch one
right,
another.
Right, and afraid to see other people's needs, to understand other people's emotions.
Yeah.
I mean, so anything that's different from us to be afraid of, you know, or what we think we're supposed to be, all that.
And one thing I do with Aphrodite's temple is I maintain a sex-positive environment.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Where we celebrate human sexuality in many different forms.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a right or wrong form
right.
in the between consenting adults.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, you know, learning to have respect and honor for one another.
Right.
No matter what form we get into.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, this is a little bit of a tangent and it's a little bit of a rant.
Yeah.
But one of the latest sort of bugs up my butt is I've been really noticing how, in particular, the gay community, since it has become a consumer target audience,
mm-hmm.
that more and more and more that the gay community is bombarded with, you know, sales pitches.
Oh, yeah.
That the more and more the community itself is becoming desensitized and just swallowing these images whole,
mm-hmm.
and not understanding how they affect them, not understanding the political ramifications, not understanding how it affects people psychically, and becoming incredibly desensitized and sort of losing the art of being able to see each other as human beings.
Yeah.
As just sort of seeing each other as consumables. And I find that very, very disheartening yeah. about the gay community as it stands right now. And I don't think that, I think things are changing back again. People are waking up to that. But I'm not sure if the gay community isn't, sadly enough, historically it was always in the avant-garde. I'm not sure if it isn't going to be dragging its heels a little bit because they're so in love with all these images they don't have to think about.
Yeah.
They're really leading them to some not very good places.
I think you touch on something that's kind of central to the ancient temples,
mm-hmm.
and that is that, you know, beauty isn't just a physical
right.
attribute.
Right.
It's also spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And I met some knockdown gorgeous men and women
mm-hmm.
that were
no denying
that were empty inside.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean
body beautiful, or just too much maintenance. I mean, God, talk about greedy in terms of just
yeah.
like too much, too high maintenance, please.
But part of one of the things of getting back in touch with nature and with Earth
mm-hmm.
is that we also get back in touch with our own bodies. And one of the things
well,
I brought
our,
up
well,
in temple,
I think what we get in touch with too is our sensitivities.
Yeah.
And I think a certain amount of people think that they have to toughen up or that somehow their sensitivity is not an attribute, that it's almost a fault, and it's dangerous to be sensitive. Mm-hmm. Whereas you feel nothing without your sensitivities. All of your power, all of your knowledge comes from refining and fine-tuning your sensitivities like you're talking about.
And it's also about becoming vulnerable.
That's how you get in touch with your sensitivities. Yes.
And we have to put these walls up, especially, going to the gay bars and put all these fronts up, masks on.
You have to learn how to deal with rest of the world, but not by toughening up. But it's the worst way to do it.
Back into nature and back into the earth-based spirituality, all of a sudden you can see with a new eye and realize, oh, well, there is something deeper to beauty.
Mm-hmm.
There is something deeper to our bodies than just skin deep. And there's this sparkle in the eye.
And all of our emotions have a beauty to them.
And I've said this on this show before, is that, I've never seen someone look ugly in the throes of orgasm.
Got a point there.
Beauty radiate out mm-hmm. when someone's in the throes of orgasm.
Right.
There's something magical that brings that sparkle out in it.
But again, the gift that you're giving people is that there are people who don't see that.
Yeah.
They really don't see. They have such limited aesthetics. They have such limited just heart.
I think the other thing, too, is that I see a lot of times is that, we're such a couple-oriented society.
Yes, yes.
And masturbation is so taboo
mm-hmm.
in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Even to some extent in the gay culture.
Mm-hmm.
But in Temple, being in a sex-positive environment, we celebrate self-love and love between two people or three people.
When I was really, really young and first starting out and young, dumb, and full of you-know-what, I was so shy about masturbating during partner sex.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, I was sort of embarrassed. And second, I thought it was greedy, or I thought it was too self-centered, or it would offend somebody. And it was so silly. I mean, obviously, later I learned that, it's all good. I would have never done that.
I've seen some new studies come out mm-hmm. in psychology recently, where they did some interviews of people that were pretty, had very happy, healthy, long, successful lives.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they found was that these people, even though they were in very loving mm-hmm. relationships, they took time for themselves for masturbation and self-pleasure.
Right. And it can be a problem with jealousy of the other partner.
It can be.
I mean, what I'm saying is that there have been situations where, you hear wives complain and like, well, he still whacks off or whatever, because mm-hmm. it's an offense towards her desirability or whatever, and that's just very skewed.
Oh.
That's very sort of silly.
Well, one of the things I've realized,
it's very much the ownership thing again, mm-hmm. like, I own every bit of your sexuality, don't you dare leak it out anywhere else. Much less spew it out.
One of the things I realized early on, because I have such a high sex mm-hmm. drive, is that I've rarely found a partner that can match my sex drive.
Right. Well, as if anybody's sexual energy in their imagination, much less anything else, could be actually really limited to one person. It's just an patently absurd, impossible mm-hmm. idea, no matter what anybody says.
But the other thing is that we all go through cycles, and there's times when it's rare for me, but there is a time or two when I'm just not in the mood.
Yeah.
And I invite my partners to masturbate at that time.
Right. And it has nothing to do with how much you're committed to them. You can be totally committed to them and still have all that.
But we all have our own needs, too.
Yes, yes.
And to bring those forward. And the other thing that I found, and this is something that's very wonderful, is when I can masturbate in front of my partner and she or he can see me do it, they learn how I enjoy, because we're all wired a little differently.
Well,
and when I can watch them masturbate, I see how they like to be touched. And we deepen our abilities to pleasure each other when we make love.
And coming back to your, you know, the festival, you know, when you start freeing yourself that way and freeing your sensitivities, then all this really wonderfully mysterious things start revealing themselves, and all of this energetic play and all that I mean, real magic starts manifesting sometimes in very tangible, you know, perceivable ways. And just, you don't reach those levels of magical communication unless you do the homework of re-sensitizing and waking up your imagination physically.
Yeah.
You know.
And also, I think, you know, we live in such an artificial world where we live in air-conditioned, heated houses, and we kind of shut nature way out.
When you can start having psychic sex, I mean, that's when it really gets good. When you're that open that it's just all magically evolving because you've just so completely tuned into whoever, however many, or a person in particular, when you're evolving a sex act through doing it.
Yeah. The other thing that occurs at Temple, and this is something that I love about Temple, and I think it touches on our kind of genetic memory, or is when I'm making love or I'm masturbating up in Temple, and I hear the drums going off in the distance at Revel's Fire, it starts carrying me to another level.
Sure.
It's like all of a sudden I get in touch with my ancestors millennia ago.
Sure.
Many, many years ago. And through throughout our whole history, drumming has been a very important part of ancient civilizations and even to the current day.
I was teasing somebody.
Something very deep and primal in us.
Somebody was talking about something similar to that the other day, and I started teasing him and saying, "Oh, well, you haven't gotten your Akashic record download yet. I mean, you know, your system is not working until you get your Akashic record download, so you can kind of tune in, pull it up whenever you need to."
But the other thing I realized too is, you know, just, and I have seen studies on this that was very interesting. When people sit by a campfire or a fire in the fireplace, a real fire, the flicker of the light puts them in a deep, relaxed state and even a trance state. When people sit in front of a TV, there's a different flicker pattern, and it keeps them in a tense state.
Interesting.
And they monitored heart rates and all kinds of tensions. And
there's I was riding one morning, early one morning, and the TV was on with just static, and I wrote something about that. I'm going to have to go back and see what I wrote, how that relates to that.
But I think that's one of the important things about getting back into this earth-based religion.
Right.
So that once we get back centered around the campfire or around drumming, it brings us to that state of consciousness where we're relaxed, we're not all tense and shutting things out, and it opens the door for us to experience at much deeper levels.
Well, you know, and I'm real involved with the Lakota stuff, as you know, and there's the job of fire, being the firekeeper.
Ah, yes.
And, you know, I went through a period where I did firekeeping a lot as part of the process of learning about all these different ways. And I don't know how many times I've heard people talk about what they learned by being a firekeeper, or what they learned by going and sitting by the fire during a week of ritual, during a week of ceremony. And it's on such a non-literal, non-verbal, subliminal, cuts past any blockages. It's so subtle, and it's so, like you said, it opens up such subtle passageways that it gets past any blockage you would try to put up against it. So the knowledge comes completely naturally straight into you without you having to process it. And it's much more direct and much more powerful, and starts changing you because it sort of got snuck past you. It kind of tricked you, in, you know, by you just having the pleasant experience of sitting there by a fire, and you know, that trickster energy aspect of it, and it's a wonderful.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think really helps, and we do, you know, every time we go out and have festivals or events, we do try to do at least one sweat lodge for folks.
Oh, yeah.
And doing a sweat is kind of this purification and cleansing of not just the body, but the spirit.
Everything.
And state of mind.
It's one-stop shopping at its best. Thank you. Spiritual, physical, mental, you got it. House claiming happens.
And sometimes we get so much tension and clutter, and, you know, you get that squirrel cage going in the brain where you're thinking about tomorrow.
And you think that if you think about it enough, you will figure it out, and it's stuff that's never going to get worked out by thinking about it. It's just, you're never going to get an answer by thinking about it. Some stuff, thinking's wonderful. It helps. It gets you to a certain place. But there's certain stuff that thinking about it ain't going to never do it.
Well, and when it comes to spirituality or even sexuality, when you bring that into the bedroom or to the altar, you're not going to have a spiritual experience.
Right.
That's very profound.
Yeah, you got to jump off.
You
got to jump. It takes you to a place, but then you jump off. Yeah.
But when you can get to a sweat and kind of cleanse all this garbage off, and then come in and be in the fully in the present, the here and now, all of a sudden it opens another door that just brings the experience so much deeper and richer. And so that's part of what getting reconnected to the earth-based religions is all about, is really kind of preparing ourselves and setting the stage so that we can have a much more deep and profound experience on a spiritual level and on a central sexual level.
And the thing is, it also, when you connect at that level, it becomes ordinary. The extraordinary becomes ordinary. And like, once you do
For yourself.
Well, no, but I mean, it's like you do all your vision quests with a medicine man, and you become a common earth person.
Yeah.
With the understanding that the sensitivity and the magical quality of a common earth person is phenomenal, is profound, is incredible. Because most people walking around are not walking around as common earth people.
Yeah.
They don't have an ordinary mind. They have a shut down, contrived, closed, robotic, you know, habitual pattern knee-jerk mind. They don't have just an ordinary, open, magical, complete, working mind.
And
I mean, that's easier said than done, obviously.
But the thing is that there is a process that occurs at pagan festivals.
Okay.
or even at radical fairy gatherings or any spiritual community, you start building synergy.
And I'll explain that more. What's synergy?
Synergy is when you can total up all the individual parts and components, and the total is greater.
So there's a kind of the snowball
some
effect.
Some of the parts, yeah.
Because and melding together, it all comes together.
Feeding on each other,
right.
and building this kind of circle energy between each other, and all of a sudden we each become more than what we could be individually.
Right.
And so what happens is you get into this group of people with this common purpose to build spiritual energy or to build community, and all of a sudden we become more than we could be.
Sort of like the old Sly Sock. I want to take you higher. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And there's a momentum that occurs at festivals where you just open
Absolutely.
Yourself a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, you feel, I've felt it myself, where all of a sudden I start picking up and this energy starts flowing through me and
yep.
I reach higher than I could ever reach doing my own thing in my own world solo. And so it's this interesting phenomenon where we just kind of it's a phenomenon of love,
right?
When you can have love, open love, all of a sudden,
and it's not, and it's not parasitic, because you're doing your part, you're contributing your energy to the whole, and the payback is incredible.
And there's a kind of this phenomenon I noticed at bi conferences where the more I gave, the more I got back.
Absolutely, yeah.
And at Radical Fairy, all these spiritual communities, it's like the more love I give out, it comes back 2, 3, 10-fold sometimes, 100-fold.
Yeah.
And so it's like each time I give a little bit more, it starts becoming exponential on the return.
Well, and there's one poem, an old poem of mine, that kind of finally put into words, because I had this thing of like, I wanted to sort of, for everyone to love me, right? And I thought, well, or to see the lover's face in every single person I saw. And then I realized that if that was ever going to happen, what I had to do was to see the lover's face in every single person I came across, regardless of age or anything, regardless of whether there was going to be sex or not, but just in terms of the unconditional lover.
Yeah.
In every single person I saw, you know, so if I could see that, then again, like you said, it would come back to me.
And, also,
and it does work that way. Not if I'm not necessarily that I'm consciously thinking that thought, but if I'm putting out that kind of just unconditional love.
And it's also
it's helpful. It's just helpful to people. It's helpful to yourself, and it's helpful to people in general.
I've also found that
it's kind.
Before you can really even reach that point, you can't love another until you can love yourself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and that goes without saying, although it's definitely worth saying, because there's a lot of people that don't.
Yeah. And so,
and I'm still working on it myself.
Oh, we all are. I mean,
yeah.
There's a saying in the pagan community, you know, enter the circle with perfect love and perfect trust. And those are ideals. You know, you can never have perfect love and perfect trust.
Trust is so important.
But it's an ideal, and it's the intent that we go into circle with, is that we come into it with the highest degree of love and trust that we can bring up in ourselves.
And generally you learn more about those very things by doing that.
Yeah.
By that investment of intention.
The other thing that, and a lot of people in our, even in the gay and lesbian community, have never really experienced a sex-positive environment.
True.
And like I say, that's one of the things we build and work on magically in Temple, is building this space. And part of it's educating people as they come in, but as Temple's grown, more and more people are learning some of the sex-positive approaches, and that's celebrating each other and ourselves as central sexual beings.
And honoring our confusion and all the stuff that scares us that we have to go through to get to being more and more sex positive.
Yeah.
Honoring all of that process.
Yeah. And so part of walking into this environment, I know a lot of people that come to Temple the first time, they go, wow, this is so freeing.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been able to... Well, we have a shower that's just totally out in the open, right near the campfire, because that's what heats the shower water tank.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't put curtains around it or anything. Everybody showers in front of everybody.
Beautiful.
And a lot of people come to Temple the first time, and we do have showers up at the front of the property where if you're really that modest, you can...
And everybody should have their comfort level attended to.
To the front showers and shower in private if you want. But a lot of people come to Temple and they go, you know, the first day I wouldn't even dream of taking a shower in front of others. But by the end of the weekend, they're like, oh, this is nothing. And they're shedding clothes and jumping in the shower and asking people can you wash my back?
Sometimes you come back from weekends and you sort of think, gosh, everybody looks so funny wearing clothes.
Oh, yeah. And so that's about, you know, it's entering a sex-positive environment is freeing, and I know that living in our culture, we've been kind of conditioned.
That's strange. You're strange. You're weird.
And we have
bizarre. I mean, get over it. It's strange is beautiful.
And so it's part of a sex-positive environment is shedding some of these taboos and shedding some of these inhibitions and becoming a fully human sexual being.
Yeah, and you don't become a predator. You don't become out of control. If anything, you become more responsible, more respectful, and more tenderly interactive, even if it's manifested in a very wild, savage way.
And when I have kind of a broad definition of sex. It's not necessarily having intercourse. It's not necessarily even doing each other to orgasm or even doing each other. It can include a sensual experience. In fact, in the way I look at sexuality, our whole bodies are sexual all the time.
And our minds.
So it's really not about just getting off.
Oh, yeah.
It's about getting in tune and letting our bodies come back alive and be receptive.
Well, how do we fulfill each other? And what is it, what aspect of you needs fulfillment at this particular moment that I can at least help in some way or get out of the way for or whatever needs to happen in terms of a real fulfillment towards becoming a whole human being.
And it's really all about getting in touch with each other and connecting with each other and connecting with ourselves.
Well, we are connected. It's more seeing through the illusion that we aren't connected. The illusion that we're separate. I mean, I think that's the thing that terrifies people the most, is it's so obvious on some level that we're all connected, and it terrifies people so much to just cop to that, to just fully realize that, because they get so much security out of feeling separate.
Yeah.
When it's actually just this fortress mentality that is containing being separate in a way that makes you sort of crazy and deranged and see things in a distorted way.
That whole illusion that we can own something or possess something.
Yes.
It truly is an illusion.
Yeah. Because we're all connected. We're all joined. We're not separate. Sorry, folks. Deal with it.
But I do have to qualify a few things about temple. We do have certain rules.
Good. Good. Always nice to
set boundaries. Yeah. If someone says no, that means no. You don't keep badgering them into a yes. You take no as no. and that is enforced. If someone, this rules are basically set up so that we have true consensual activities, that nobody's pressured into anything. Everybody does what they want when they're ready to do it. So if someone just wants to come in and observe in temple, I'm very okay with that, as long as they don't gawk, as long as they put erotic energy back into the circle, whether it's doing some soft rhythmic drumming or caressing oneself, and I don't mean necessarily just on the genitals. You could just caress yourself anywhere on your body to help put some of that erotic energy back to the circle. And it can be, the other rule we have is that inside Aphrodite's temple, you're not allowed to come in street clothes. You have to either wear erotic clothing or be nude.
Sounds fair to me.
Because one of the things we want to do
is a temple.
Celebrate our bodies and our sensuality and our sexuality.
That's so funny, too, because, in the... a lot of the Western religions, you must be completely clothed to enter a sacred space. And this is just so, 180 out in terms of,
Well, in most churches, sex is considered evil and sinful and bad.
And why a lot of people stop going to those.
Of spiritual. Yeah. And in the ancient temples, sacred sex was a
it's taking the whole of reality and brutally amputating good from bad, instead of seeing the spectrum of situations where what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, really is very fluid and in flux, and very much again determined by sensitivities to each other.
Well, we're in our society, we're taught to think male, female.
Yeah, dichotomy, always the opposite.
Binary system.
No, thank you.
Yes or no.
Often said that being a true Piscean, I've always been an also person rather than an either or person, Much more fun.
But things are a spectrum.
Yes.
Rarely do you get
clearly
either or in nature. And gender is especially one of
those. Tonight I was at some friends' parties, and they had these two wonderful dogs, and this one dog I described as user friendly, because you could turn him upside down and just was a friend to everybody. And the other couple, that they're friends, they have another little dog, and the dogs knew each other, and one's a little girl dog and one's a little boy dog.
Yeah.
And the little girl dog, who's smaller than the boy dog, gets up on the back of the boy dog and humps him. And I just love the idea that it's just like, here's the little girl dog humping the little boy dog, and he's just like, hey, they're both just having a great old time and happier than what it just happy as can be. So there you are,
Oh yeah. I do want to once again remind people, if they're interested in coming to the festival, We have lots of information on the ESA website.
Okay.
It's earthspiritalliance.org. Earthspiritalliance, all one word, .org. And they've got ticket information, lots of information about the events and about paganism.
It just sounds like, I mean, it'd be a lot of fun, as well as I'm sure you'd come away knowing a lot about all sorts of things you could be interested in.
Uh-huh.
You know, not just a sex temple, which would be incredible as well, but just a whole spectrum of things that you could come away with, you know, broadening your knowledge about lots of different things.
Yeah.
And meeting a lot of wonderful people, making friendships.
In the ESA newsletter that I never knew about before, and that's Spiral Scouts.
What's that?
It's a Spiral Scouts teaches respect for the earth, respect for each other, and respect for all living things. And I guess it's kind of like a scout troop for...
Is it for young people?
Yeah.
That's a cool idea.
And so that's it's kind of a cool pagan idea. Scout group.
That just so rocks.
So,
how wonderful. Yeah.
I ran across that and I thought, ooh, I was a Boy Scout once.
Yeah. I was a Cub Scout dropout. But yeah.
I would have really
I'd love to see the merit I'd love to see the merit badges they must have.
I need to step in and let everyone know you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener sponsored commercial free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the worldwide web at kpft.org.
And where else would you hear people talking about this kind of stuff?
Oh, yes. One more thing. If people want to know more about the Temple of Aphrodite, I do have a website app. It's at ravenslayerleather.com. One word.
Mm-hmm.
Ravenslayer Leather.
Why don't you spell that out?
R-A-V-E-N-S.
No apostrophe.
No apostrophe.
So start over again. I'm sorry.
L-A-I-R.
Yeah.
L-E-A-T-H-E-R. Okay. So, Raven's Lair Leather.
Okay. Just to make sure everybody knew how to spell lair, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know.
And it's got a lot of information about
I never
temple.
Know what words I'm not going to know how to spell. Sometimes the most obvious ones are the ones like, how do you spell that?
Yeah. So, why don't we go to some music, and
okay.
Then I'm not even sure how much more time I have, or if we need to go
round
to other
table,
stuff.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, we've got a couple stories we can bring up here for a round table kind of stuff that I found.
Cool.
Oh, okay, great.
So, I have no idea what Jimmy queued up here, so I'll just play it.
Oh, okay. Present, living.
name's Laura, the host of Laura Palooza, and I invite you to listen to KPFT 90.1 on the second and fourth Sunday mornings from 4 to 6. Laura Palooza is a name that comes from the word Lollapalooza, which means something outstanding and unusual. It's a music program that includes roots rock, contemporary folk, and blues, and other types of music, but it's always an eclectic mix with a message or that tells a story about people. Listeners keep telling me they're glad they discovered the program. You can too. That's Laura Palooza on the second and fourth Sunday mornings from 4 to 6, right here at 90.1. Listener-sponsored, non-commercial, Pacifica Radio KPFT Houston. Radio for peace.
And Laura is waiting in the wing. She's coming up at the top of the hour. Before that, we play Donna Hendricks. The wrong song. It was Interior Voices. I don't know what in the world Jimmy wanted Jimmy to play, but he wasn't here. The CD went flush, so whatever. Let's wait for the rest of them to come in for roundtable. Let's see what happens if I push this button. Nothing!
We're happy to have you with us tonight and hope you'll come back often.
Hey!
So many people around us are frozen. When did they start to lose their fire? Our lives get sedated. Less and innovated. It's time to dig around in our dark desires. Hit my cigarette and fire up your Corvette. Roll the windows down and toss out our clothes. Go for a spin with the wind on a bare skin. Should we hit the driving like this? Do you suppose? Yeah, inside me. Closet tonight. Yank your evil twin out and let the spark ignite. Surge of adrenaline rush, a fight or flight. Just let it all break out of the closet tonight. Chase insecurity, we forget the passion. Hint of danger that we used to crave. That inner drive, the thrill to be alive. She says a grown man's always gotta behave. Wait till it's dark and sneak down to the skate park. Run to the beach and roll around in the sand. A dominator submits as the game calls for it. I'm down with that, anything you demand. Face that you hide from daylight. Search of adrenaline rush, a fight or flight. Just let it all break out of the closet tonight. Yeah. Something primal in the pitch black behind our eyes. Part of us wants to howl at the full moon. Steal back the sanity before part of us dies. Broken, or assigned to live trapped in a cage.
right, well, unfortunately, Jimmy can't hear the song. This somebody took... And put your headphones on, Jimmy. Hit edit here. The UB3.
Yeah.
And put its rating men behind it.
That movie has got to be a gay fantasy, you know? All these semi-clad, hunky, muscled men.
So if you go to YouTube, you can find that video. And like I said, it was... I saw a thing at the top there. It said, 300 men, it's raining men. I go,
oh,
what is it? So I clicked on the link down here, and it's like, oh, my goodness.
Yes, somebody's... and it was exactly what you thought it was going to be.
Weird and tacky and...
hot.
Thank goodness for...
Yes. Has
Cal
anybody
Road.
Seen that movie yet?
No.
Is it? It's out, isn't it?
Yeah. It's, you know, here's how sad. The last movie I saw in the movie theater...
Yeah.
Brokeback Mountain.
Me too. I know. And that was last year.
Yeah. That's two Academy Awards ago.
Oops.
All right. So, we've got a couple little... news stories we can
do we now
we can talk about here. I'm surprised the rest of the group hasn't come in yet. They're out sucking on a fag,
something like that.
A little transgendered news here.
Oh?
A transgender Florida city manager loses its job.
How come?
City commissioners early Saturday finalized the firing of a city manager who is seeking a sex change operation despite pleas from dozens of impassioned supporters to save his job. Commissioners contend that Santa was being fired because they lost confidence in him, not because he wants to be a woman.
Sure.
I think we're pretty well convinced. You have to believe us. You have to trust us. It's not about transgenderism.
Nope, I don't trust you.
Me doth to think he protests too much.
Yep.
Stanton 48 triggered a debate in the city of 76,000 just west of Tampa last month when he announced his plans at a news conference. Commissioners say Stanton's announcement caused turmoil and work disruption in the city. His contract says he can be fired without cause at any time. He hasn't decided whether or not he's going to sue. So it's, you know, Sam was planned to change his name legally in August and begin living as a woman before having a gender reassignment surgery in the summer of 2008. He drafted an 8-page transition plan to prepare his employees and pursue the sex change operation.
Wow.
He had planned to announce the change this summer, but a St. Petersburg Times reporter learned of his secret and forced him to come out at a City Hall press conference on February 21st.
Oh, that's not right.
He's been suspended with pay since last month.
Suspended?
Yeah.
Because the contract calls for that they can fire him for no reason at all.
Yeah, and so they kind of suspended him after he had came out. And
brother.
So... it was a vote of 5-2.
Really?
Oh, sorry. 5-2, they voted to suspend him with pay last month. And it doesn't say what the vote was to terminate him. But, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, this is a story that was actually covered on the Drudge Report.
Yes. Oh.
Bastion of conservative fairness.
Yeah, right. Like Fox News.
Yeah. Let's see here. Teenager wants to wear an anti-gay t-shirt. Is taking a battle to court. This comes out of Chicago area. Aniqua Valley High senior has gone to federal court seeking the right to wear an anti-gay t-shirt to school next month on the day after a national event to support gays is scheduled in schools. Heidi Zemnicka, 17, is asking the courts to order her school in Indian Prairie District 204 to allow her to express her anti-gay beliefs on April 19th, the day after the 11th annual Day of Silence is scheduled to protest harassment of gays in schools. According to the website dayofsilence.org, students and teachers across the country plan to observe the day in silence to echo the silence that gay students face all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The lawsuit filed on Wednesday on behalf of Heidi and another student did not state what written message they plan to wear on the T-shirts.
Oh.
Heidi's father declined to comment, but he referred all calls to an attorney. Because of the family's sincerely held religious beliefs against homosexuality, they wish to share their conviction that true happiness cannot be found through homosexual behavior. You're not doing it right, then. During her first 2 years of high school, the Naperville resident did not outwardly object to the day of silence,
mm-hmm.
in which students wear pro-gay messages on T-shirts. But in her junior year, Heidi wore a T-shirt on the day after a day of silence that read in part, "Be happy, not gay." On that day, the dean of students told Heidi to remove the shirt or leave because her message offended others. When she refused, her mother was called. Her mother and the dean agreed that she could wear the shirt if he changed it to "Be happy, be straight." But the suit says the argument was broken when a school counselor crossed out "not gay" in a black marker, but didn't replace it with the "be straight." The suit says Linda Zemeca discussed the issue with the principal, and the superintendent was told the staff had done nothing wrong. The suit says Heidi suffered unlawful discrimination, humiliation, and punishment by school personnel, merely because she didn't agree with her viewpoint.
And I wonder how she would feel if a student... I don't know what religious... doesn't say what religion she belongs to.
Doesn't say what specific her specific faith is, but no.
Mm-hmm. If someone wore a T-shirt that was anti-whatever that religion was.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, I heard them talk...
It borders on hate speech.
Yeah. I mean, they were talking... I actually saw this on... a little bit on Fox News, I think it was, a couple days ago. Because there's a court case going before the Supreme Court. It's the infamous Bong Hits for Jesus
mm-hmm.
case.
Yes.
Where, for those of you who don't know, a high school student, several years ago when the Olympic torch was going mm-hmm. through his Alaskan town.
Yes.
He held up a banner that said, "Bong Hits for Jesus." Now, this was not on school grounds. It was not during a school event. It wasn't during anything related with school. But his principal suspended him for... I'm sorry, it was on Bill Maher.
Yes, it was. I saw that.
It was just a rabid Republican who was talking about the case. This case is going before the Supreme Court because this kid's, you know... was punished for at school for something he didn't have anything to do at school.
Right.
And one of the things
that's the ridiculous part.
Yeah. And I mean, that's one of the things you're seeing a lot of, and they're saying it's going to open the door for other cases of where it's a lot of these Christian groups and Christian students who are feeling that, you know, their rights are being trampled on because they can't express themselves.
Well, you see, it's not that they want to express themselves. They want to denounce something else.
Yeah.
And that's where you get into hate speech. If people believe that there is freedom of speech across the board, there really isn't. Because there are a lot of things that you're not allowed to say, and I just happen to believe that it's kind of the problem that the atheists used to have. Instead of talking about anything pro-atheism, what's good about atheism,
mm-hmm.
all they talked about was how bad religion was.
Yeah. Build yourself up, don't knock someone else down.
Exactly. Exactly. And now, if this girl wanted to wear a T-shirt the next day after, you know, that says something very pro whatever her religion is,
yeah.
that's fine. But why does she feel the need to express hate?
Yeah. Be happy, not gay. Well, I can see her play on words there because, you know, gay used to mean happy.
Yes.
And then, you know, it's
Well, it still does. It still just does. Has another meaning also. Yeah.
Definition one is happy. Yeah. Definition two is queer.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting little thing. But, I mean, you know, unlawful discrimination.
You know, be happy, belong to such and such religious organization.
Well, I mean, that's the one thing is that in schools, they, you know, they can restrict what is seen and what, you know.
That's right.
And, you know, I mean, I'm from the older, a little bit older time when, you know, in high school, you couldn't wear shorts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the rule was, you know, some of the guys were upset because, you know, some of the buildings were not well air-conditioned. You know, the air conditioner shut off on the weekends. So, you know, the first half of Monday, it's quite warm in some mm-hmm. of them. And they wanted to wear shorts, and they were told, you know, you can't wear shorts. And so, in protest, some of the guys came to school one day dressed in skirts.
Uh-huh.
Saying, you know, you allow the girls to wear this, why can't...
That's right.
And, you know, my school was a little backward, or, you know, conservative, yeah. rich high school. You know, the most recent well-known case in the Houston area for fighting a gay-straight alliance, mm-hmm. Klein High School.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the sort of thing you do, that came around. You know, it's the same school that turned around, and a couple years after I left, they stopped doing the traditional powder puff football game.
Why?
Because it promoted transgenderism.
Oh, brother.
Well, because what would happen was the girls would, you know, power puff football. It was a fundraiser for the prom, or after prom or something like that. It was some fundraiser for something. So a bunch of the senior girls, usually the cheerleaders,
mm-hmm.
would play flag football against a bunch of junior girls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was kind of a full turnabout show, so a lot of the football players were cheerleaders.
Yeah.
And so they came to school dressed in, you know, cheerleader outfits with the full makeup.
Yeah.
And, you know.
That's, you know, what turnabout means.
And, you know, it was a little disconcerting because, you know, back at that time, I was still playing football.
Oh.
And, you know, I did, you know, I made the fag joke of, you know, coach, you know, it's a little hard for me to get on the 4-point stance when the guy behind me there's wearing lipstick and rouge. Because he could take off the cheerleader outfit when it came time for practice, but the makeup stayed on.
I see.
Little did I know that, you know.
Years later, you would be doing it. Okay.
But, you know, see, the problem is this, you know, I was a tackle, and, you know, I preferred the quarterback instead of the tackle behind me. I see a wide receiver tight end joke coming out of somewhere.
You know, what about kilts?
Oh, yeah.
The fact, I wore my kilt last night.
God, Jimmy's wears a kilt.
And I got a standing ovation when I walked into EJ's. And yes, I did wear it the Scottish way.
I can't go commando like just that.
Kind of fun.
Ew.
It was for an ICOH function, so I had to watch how I bowed.
You curtsy with that on.
No. 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 It wasn't drag. It was a kilt.
New story out of Canada with a warning. The article contains graphic content.
Oh, good.
Well, not so good. In Ottawa, psychiatrist accused of having depraved sex and torturing two of his male patients. Alleged acts that include tying rope around one young man's genitals and leading him around the office will never practice again. Dr. Juan Ernesto Tejeda Rosario, known as Dr. Tejeda, because it's a lot shorter.
God, why does a straight man pay women to do that to them?
Well, they, you know, one thing is, you know, they mention here, you know, one young man.
Yes.
I don't remember seeing anything in here of age.
No. Oh.
They just, you know, they use that.
Oh.
Now, it does, you know, does cross the line for some people in here. In exchange to the college,
was he a sex therapist?
It doesn't say what his specialty was.
Ah.
He's been charged criminally with six counts of sexual assault.
Wow.
It hasn't gone to court yet. The documents allege Tejeda forced one patient to perform oral and oral anal sex. When the patient told officials at the Ottawa Civic Clinic in 98 about the sexual abuse, Tejeda allegedly forced him to retract the disclosure. Tejeda also allegedly paid the patient's girlfriend $3,000 not to discuss the sexual abuse.
Ooh.
Same documents accuse him of raping a second young man, also a patient, while his head was in a toilet and sodomized him with a toilet brush.
Ooh.
You know, in New York City, that's called standard police procedure, if I remember correctly.
Tacky, tacky.
He's also accused of piercing the patient's scrotum and penis with a needle so it would bleed.
Ooh.
He also alleged the second patient was forced to perform oral sex with a plastic bag over his head.
That could be difficult.
Well, it is kind of, you know, in a way, it's safe sex.
Yes, it is.
It's
very
life-threatening, but it's safe sex. Mm-hmm. Usually you just put the plastic bag over the penis. But
yes.
Tejeda would also allegedly whip patients' buttocks with a riding crop while talking about sexual fantasies. It would be so rough, the patient would need, quote, medical attention. Now, he can't see patients, but he can still work as a psychotherapist.
And he's probably very popular as the leather daddy.
And, but see, like I said, one thing, it sounds so sensational with all this stuff, but, you know, the only age that's listed in here is his.
Oh.
There's no mention in here of the age of the young man
mm-hmm.
that they talk so highly about in here. Mexico City has registered its first same-sex civil union.
Yes.
How do they get civil unions first?
Can you imagine that in Mexico?
Yeah, no kidding. Considering the culture.
I know. And I guess it's really only in Mexico City. It's not the whole country.
Mexico City thought to be the first municipality to pass such a law. It's the second to put it into action. The northern state of Coahuila, which borders Texas, began registering civil unions in late January.
Oh.
Cute couple.
I just find that absolutely amazing.
Mexico, of all places.
Yeah, I wasn't too shocked about Spain, because they had been under the thumb of Franco for so long that when he finally died and it kind of opened up, it just went so liberal so quickly. That I wasn't surprised to hear about gay marriage happening over there. But Mexico is different.
Yeah, they're not known for their liberal policies.
Absolutely not, no. And it is the macho central where you're only gay if you have receptive penile sex.
If you're the receiver...
Right. If you're the bottom, you're the gay one.
Or for you IKEA fans, if you're the slot, not the tab.
There you go.
From the person who gave you the all-male version of Swan Lake...
Yes.
Matthew Bourne plans to tackle Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet with an upcoming production entitled Romeo, Romeo.
Ooh.
Bourne says the adaptation presents challenges due to the male-female dynamic of traditional dance partnering. It's going to have to do more with dancing than with sexuality. A male dancer, whether he's gay or straight, fits into a relationship with a female partner very happily. Getting away from that, making a convincing love duet for two men is comfortable and uncomfortable to watch.
Says who?
No, it says he's trying to make it that we'll be comfortable to do and comfortable to watch. I'm sorry, right. I kind of stuttered in the middle of it. He's planning on rehearsals next year after a summer of improv and testing scenes with smaller groups of dancers.
Wow.
I've seen some of the pictures of their Swan Lake.
And it was wonderful.
Looking at it, right now I'm at Tolaroad. .com. It's kind of a blog site that I've been using to get more
mm-hmm.
news out of.
It's what called what?
T O W L E R O A D.
Oh.
Cholet Road. I'm not sure if that's how it's pronounced, but that's how it's spelled.
Okay.
It's a blog with homosexual tendencies.
Ooh, we like that.
A couple of stories of the Dallas gay bar that was burned, set on fire, made their story.
I didn't know that.
Mabel Peabody's Beauty Parlor and Chainsaw Repair Shop. Repair bar.
I never heard of that bar. That's funny.
Intruders vandalized, robbed, and set Mabel Peabody's Beauty Parlor and Chainsaw Repair ablaze in Denton, Texas, early on Wednesday, destroying it.
Yeah,
the gay bar has been around for decades. Mary Honeycutt opened the club 27 years ago.
You're kidding. I never heard of this place.
Ms. Sanders said. Back then, she said, it was a brave move to open a club for gay men and women.
Yeah.
Ms. Sanders said she has had no trouble and has no idea who may have set the fire.
We're talking 1979, 1980.
Yeah. Ms. Sanders said that when she bought the club, she came up with an unusual name with the help of a lot of wine. She wants to reopen, but she says it's too soon to know what she'll do. I think I lost my identity along with my business.
Aww.
Sanders, who has owned Mabel Peabody's for 13 years, says she has no idea why the club was targeted. They broke in, they took liquor and threw chairs all over the place. They destroyed the whole bar before they burned it. I wonder if it could have been a gay bashing deal. I have no idea.
Hmm.
But, very interesting name.
No kidding.
A conservative town.
Yeah. Dallas area is conservative pretty much. Although it's a strong gay community, but it is kind of it's a lot more conservative than Houston.
Yeah.
It's so much more Bible Belt-ish.
Yeah, it's just north of Jerusalem of the South.
Yeah. Jerusalem of the South.
That's Waco's nickname.
Gotcha.
But Mabel Peabody's Beauty Parlor and Chainsaw Repair.
Love it. Just love that name.
I thought the other one she had a little crazy there.
And he's looking for news items to talk about.
Yeah, there's the 300 song again there.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Seacrest is neither gay or bisexual, according to an old flame.
Well, he's not straight either.
They've got pictures from Chile's first gay soccer team.
Ooh.
Prepares to head to the IGLF World Cup in Buenos Aires.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting story. Soccer is considered such a machismo sport.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wait a minute.
However, there are, soccer, gay soccer and rugby teams in America and in Britain.
Yeah, I got a feeling this
and is... I think Canada, too.
Okay, I'm looking at this game and, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, either a couple of their players were missing or it's an indoor game.
Yeah.
Because they only have nine people in their picture here. But the IGLF World Cup will take place in Buenos Aires. Teams from England, Iceland, Germany, Mexico, Brazil, and the United States. Oh, okay, there's 11 aside groups and there's 7 aside groups. That's why there's only 9 people in the picture. There's probably the 7 aside team. Which means you play 7 players on each side.
Gotcha.
One more thing I got to talk about. I talked about it last week about the show on HBO called Rome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Now, like I said, I caught this show first because, I was flipping through the stations and I believe it was Mark, the guy who's playing Mark Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Saw an ass shot and I go, ooh. I may stick around.
Okay.
Now, I've been watching this and I've been waiting for Caesar Octavian to finally show some skin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Caesar Octavian in where they're at right now in the play is would be the character's 21, 22 years old. He's mm-hmm. played by an 18 or 19 year old.
Yes.
And last week he finally showed some skin underneath the toga.
Oh.
Very cute ass.
I see.
If she wasn't doing that woman, it would have been nice.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, it was weird because the week before when he was, you know, the episode the week before was taking place a couple of years earlier
mm-hmm.
than this one. And, you know, he decided he was going to take a wife, and she's already married, but that didn't stop him from taking her.
Oh.
And so he was sitting there talking with her, you know, as before they got married, and was asking, you know, does your husband beat you? She goes, no, he would never do so, and I would never think I had anything to do. And he goes, well, I will have to beat you because I enjoy it.
Oh.
And so it's basically this, you know, you're seeing this ancient Roman S&M.
No kidding.
Feature to it. So while he's, you know, engaging in marital relations with his wife there, you know, all of a sudden she just kind of leans back and smacks him across the face twice. And he's just enjoying, and then, you know, later on, it's, you know, they kind of reverse roles, and she's, you know, basically doing the suffocation, so she has a forearm across his throat, going, it's like, okay, you know, you think of this as new stuff.
My goodness.
A new kind of kink.
Yeah.
But
asphyxiation.
Yeah, well, it's not
kink.
It's not autoerotic asphyxiation, but, you know, so, you know. Tune into it. I said it's a hot little.
I see.
They don't show nearly enough of it, but there's you get a good smattering of the half naked men.
Mm-hmm.
Except I'll have to watch it when they go back and start from the beginning again.
Or rent it.
Yeah. Whenever that comes out. So, all right, what do you got?
Dallas. We're speaking of Dallas. Clear Channel Radio Dallas is proud to announce the launch of Pride Radio. Pride Radio is Dallas-Fort Worth's revolutionary new gay station, celebrating the country's sixth largest GLBT community. Pride Radio is locally programmed and will be music intensive, featuring a blend of top 40 dance and gay anthems, including original mixes and remixes from Madonna, Donna Summer, Justin Timberlake, Gwen Stefani, Janet Jackson, and more. The station is targeted toward the affluent, active 18 to 34 year old adult community in the DFW area. Pride Radio celebrates all things pop culture and entertainment with syndicated show Ryan and Carolyn. The show blends music, entertainment news, celebrity gossip from the notorious Perez Hilton, fashion tips from celebrity stylist Philip Block, movie reviews, travel, style, and health, live entertainment, and more. The show has been dubbed Radio's Will and Grace. We want to be the source for the local happenings in the Dallas-Fort Worth GLBT community, says Steve Lee, Director of Online Content and Marketing for Clear Channel Dallas. We will feature local news, headlines, events, entertainment, charity functions, and more, both on air and online. Pride Radio can be heard at dubcubed.prideradio.com. DFW.com. That's PrideRadioDFW.com. Pride Radio will also be broadcast in high definition on 106.1 FM's HD2 channel via the new HD radio technology. So I take it that you've gone to the Pride Radio DFW.com website.
Yes, I have.
And tell us what you're finding.
Ooh.
Anything gay?
Ooh, hunk of the day.
Or is it just
hunk of the day.
Hunk of the day. Oh, my. Bare-chested young man.
Boy's hobbling in as fast
as
he can.
Yes, he certainly is, isn't he?
Yeah, but I don't think he's gay. I think it's just... Yeah.
So it's kind of a top 40 station with a gay slant and geared towards the gay community, much like...
Will and Grace sanitized for your...
Well, of course. Like that... What is that program that's on Houston...
Radio with a Twist.
Radio with a Twist, yes.
Let's see. Entertainment news. Miss USA crowned. Supermodel Naomi Campbell leaves her community service. And Mel Gibson loses his temper over professor's comments. Matt Kearney. Let's see. Videos on demand. Nickelback. Well, let's... there's our video vault. Let's see. Oh, yeah, A-Teens. That's really gay.
Have you found anything really gay yet?
Trace Adkins, Aerosmith.
Sounds like generic
Aerosmith?
Gay. No, wow.
No.
Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, man.
Let's go back to, let's see, on air, Ryan and Caroline. Let's see who these people are. Oh, my goodness. They interviewed Alan Cumming. So apparently they do know a gay person.
Oh, there was somebody gay on a gay radio station.
Somebody from Perez Hilton.
Oh, great.
Have you seen him?
No.
Oh. Well, I had to use a fire extinguisher on my television today because he was on.
You had to what?
I had to use my fire extinguisher on my television.
Because he was flaming so
much? Oh, he's, you know. Basically, he had a birthday party. It was called the Queen's Ball.
Cute.
The radio's version of Will and Grace. What a great claim to fame.
Well, there has to be a first.
What the hell are we?
We are queer radio. That's queer light.
Yeah. But, you
know,
I'm...
He's never lied about us.
I'm trying to, you know... What spring fashion are you most looking forward to? Capris?
No.
Anything with lime green?
No.
No.
Wearing my new swimsuit?
Yes.
Well, it depends on who's in it.
What swimsuit?
Good for you.
Well, let's see. They sell Dallas Voice.
Okay, well.
Well, I still have a gay newspaper there. Should be a cheap bastard to hit the listen live. We'll play on the air.
No. Oh,
well, it is clear channel, so it's got to be pretty generic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what does this mean to you?
It's clear channel with a slant toward the gay community. Throwing in a couple of queers every now and then.
We're talking about clear channel.
I know.
If they could think they could make a buck off neo-Nazis,
we would
have Hitler radio.
Yep. You're absolutely correct about that.
We do. It's called Mike Savage.
Ooh.
Ouch.
I mean, let's just face the fact that, you know, it's kind of like what they were talking before about, you know, they've suddenly realized that supposedly us queers have money.
Mm-hmm. Some of us do.
Who that? You're married to it.
That doesn't mean I have any.
That's what I'm saying. If they could make a buck off of it, you know, if they think they can make any dollar off it selling advertising to it,
yeah,
you know, they'll put it on the air. They'll find some way of moving stuff around and getting it on there.
Yeah.
You know, and look how long it took them to, you know, come up with the idea of Radio with a Twist.
That's right.
That it's not just them, actually. It's on a Clear Channel station here in Houston, but it's syndicated on different stations from around the country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yes, they sound very slick. You know, everything, you know. If those people are actually sitting in three different cities, they have better transition going from one person to another than we do here. We're looking at each other. But once again, that's the magic of editing.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
But, you know, because it's not, you know, and we always tape delay because when you look at the time, it's, it's on different times on different stations.
Sure.
But, no, this is, you know, it's nice that's happening, you know, that there may be an actual station up there.
Yeah.
You know, but to see what happens with how much they actually cover the community. You know,
the actual community.
The actual community.
They won't be talking about what we talk about, fundraisers, in local gay bars of drag shows. They're not going to be talking about anything really queer.
When they talk,
it's going to be.
When they do fundraisers, you're going to hear Black Tie Dinner.
Yes.
You're going to hear Diffa.
Uh huh.
You know.
Yeah, all the highbrow stuff.
They'll do that stuff there.
That's right. And they'll play Elton John, and they'll play Madonna, and they'll play Melissa Etheridge, and, all of that kind of stuff. But you're not going to hear, they're not going to hear Jay Spears.
Or B-Nug.
Yeah. They're not going to hear Big Nug. They're not going to hear anything like that. They're not going to hear Pansy Division.
Definitely not Pansy Division.
They interviewed Kate Clinton.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Did they go back in time to when she had a career?
Ouch.
And then they talked to Cheryl Swoops.
Mm-hmm.
Chit-chat with Caroline. Oh, this is so Fox News there. One of their hosts interviewed one of their other hosts.
Cute.
That's what I love about Fox News. It's like, you know, I think it's a requirement that every week you have to have someone from another show come on and be a guest on your show. It's so bastardized, you know. Geraldo just makes the circuit there. Party Picks.
That's sad. That's sad. However, you know, that may be the future for the community. The gay community.
I don't think so.
I do, actually. Because when you look in more progressive countries like Holland, the Netherlands, where gays have been accepted for many years, there is no gay community because they don't need a community.
Oh, yeah.
Gays are accepted in completely accepted in society.
I've always said that there is not a gay organization out there. There is not a lesbian organization. There's not an HIV/AIDS organization out there that their greatest goal is we are not needed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We would love to say going out of business.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've said for many years, people have asked me why I do this radio show and why I've stuck with it for so long. And
sure,
my answer,
hell ain't the groupies.
Yeah, tell me. And Josh. my answer has always been, I'll do this radio show until I don't have to. And I never realized that by not having to, we wouldn't really have a separate gay community because we would be embraced by the larger community and we wouldn't need our specialized stuff. Well, sure, we'd still have gay bars where we can go to congregate, but we don't have to congregate in gay bars, if we're accepted by the community. And we are getting there because there are less and less gay people living in the Montrose. There are more and more couples, gay couples and lesbian couples, living openly throughout the city.
Yeah, but, you know, I work in Tomball. You know, I'm starting to see some personal ads for people living out in Tomball.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, you gotta go to the really weird personal ad sites to find the queers out in Tomball
and,
what parks they like to hang out at.
They're still there.
But you know, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I gotta admit, listening to Radio with a Twist and from what I could see of Pride Radio, I hate putting it like this, but they are weak compared to our show. And I'll be honest, this show is is going to last, because it is not just thoroughly queer, but it is quite hard hitting in many respects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Plus, we're real
Chris
people.
Will not let anybody get away with anything. I mean, if somebody gives out false information, Chris is right there. If somebody is trying to hem and haw, Chris will steer him right back in. I love the way Chris, takes care of business.
But the fact is this: that sometimes we look at this and we go, who's listening to us out there? Especially when Fun Drive comes around.
Oh, Chris, talk about who's listening. And I mentioned Mike Savage earlier. At work, I've got not much other choice but to listen to him, because we've got a broken down radio that only catches two stations.
Oh.
And Chris, you have made an impact in society, I guess, with the extreme right wing.
How?
The other day, Mike Savage, on his radio show, was trying to call for some people to be at his party that he was having out in San Francisco. He wanted a bunch of Hawaiian warriors.
Yeah.
And I forget the name of those warriors.
Yeah.
But he said, there's this one pervert on the radio, I'm not going to tell you who he is, in Houston, Texas, and I'm going to steal a little bit of his thing. Hello? And he mentioned their name. Wherever you are, and if you're listening on the World Wide Web, I need you for my party. So, Chris...
You're kidding me.
I am not. Mike Savage is plagiarizing you. Of all people.
I love it.
I love it, Chris.
I love it.
Mike Savage listens to you.
That's pretty amazing.
Well, I tell him what I think about him, but I don't know how to operate the 8-second delay.
Mm.
I pushed the button before, and all I saw was the numbers spinning. I don't know how the hell that thing works.
Well, coming up at the top of the hour, Laura Palooza.
Cool.
And she's waiting in the wings, folks.
She has a promo card.
Oh, a promo card. Oh, get her.
Oh, my goodness. We are getting high tech in our old age here, folks.
Yeah, I got to work on something new for here. But, the only time I ever work on that stuff with a good equipment is during the show.
Anyway.
I get a break.
Laura brings you great alternative music. You're used to hearing right here on KPFT. Stuff that you're not going to hear anywhere else. And you're going to love it.
If you want to get in touch with us.
I love this station. You're always going to hear stuff mm-hmm. that you don't hear anywhere else.
If you want to get in touch with us, or if you have a link to where Michael Savage was stealing my lines, it's afterhours@kpft.org. If you're snail mail oriented, it's KPFT, After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Love, T-T, L-O-V-E-T-T.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
This concludes this programming. And I guess I push this button.
Please do.
It says,
see you next week.
Impeach. Hey, I guess it would help if I hit the right button.
Yeah.
Illegal wars, wiretaps, torture, deceit, fraud, demand impeachment. Come to the impeachment forum, 6 p.m. Monday, April 9th, 2007, at Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church, 2025 West 11th Street. Join us for a night of edification and action. Featured speakers include Cindy Sheehan, Bob Jensen, Deborah Sweet, Lon Burnham, Ada Edwards, Diane Wilson, Sissy Farenthold. No one.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening. The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.